falling out. In a couple weeks, we'll pretend to break up and life will go back to normal. It would be smart to remember that and not read too much into the affectionate gesture. That kiss was nothing more than the PDA we agreed to. With his arm wrapped around me, we stroll toward our accounting class. It's disconcerting how people's heads swivel in our direction as we walk by. Students call out greetings to Braden, attempting to grab his attention before waving. We might both be Division I athletes at Western, but I'm able to move around campus without a hint of fanfare. Braden, on the other hand, he can't walk 10 steps without attracting interest. The guy is recognized everywhere, probably even the bathroom. It used to aggravate the hell out of me that the male athletes around here received so much love, and not just the football players either, although they do receive the most. Hockey, baseball, basketball, even lacrosse, they all have their fair share of jersey chasers, cleat sniffers, and puck bunnies. Now I'm experiencing this craziness firsthand and realize how much I dislike the intense scrutiny. I enjoy moving through the crowd anonymously. I wouldn't always want to be on. People are always watching, waiting for something to happen, something that will feed the gossip mill. Even at the diner, people were stopping by to say hello or talk about the game. It was annoying. But Braden handled it with ease and humility, never seeming bothered by the attention. Maybe he didn't want the waitress to hover over us, but he was never rude about it. Ethan was a baseball player, and his fandom wasn't nearly at this level. And that, I remind myself, is precisely why Braden kissed me in front of everyone. He knows that it'll spread like wildfire and hopefully get back to Kira, helping to give this sham of a relationship authenticity. Once my heart stops racing, I clear my throat. Was that really necessary? A peck on the cheek would have gotten the job done. Are you kidding? He scoffs good-naturedly, beaming a smile in my direction. When I'm trying to sell something, I go all the way. There's no half-assing it for me. If I needed anything more to confirm my suspicions, that comment does the trick. 9 o'clock, Braden murmurs. There she is. My gaze roves over the groups of students loitering outside the business building. It only takes a moment to seek out Kira in the crowd. Her gaze is already trained on us. The closer we get to the building, the more her brows pinch together. Well, damn. I was hoping that after this weekend, she would have gotten the hint loud and clear. All of his previous lightheartedness disappears. By the intensity of her expression, I'm guessing that's not the case. I'm sure after a week or two, she'll move on, I murmur. I don't know. His arm tightens around me, drawing me closer. I've run into some pretty persistent chicks, but nothing like this. Honestly, I'll be glad to graduate in the spring, just to get away from her. Wow, that's really sad. Guilt flickers through me. And here I'd thought he would probably be basking in all the female attention. Instead, he's attempting to deter it. My mind goes to what it will be like when Braden gets drafted. Don't you think it'll be 10 times worse once you're playing in the NFL? He jerks his shoulders. I don't know. Probably. I try not to think that far ahead. Right now, I'm concerned about making it to the next level. Once I get there, then I'll worry about it. If it even happens. Is Braden serious? With his looks and skills on the field, he'll be propelled to superstardom. It's a sure bet that women will be crawling out of the woodwork attempting to capture his attention. Who knows? I joke. Maybe she'll follow you wherever you go. The look of horror that flashes across his face is enough to make me laugh. Aw, it's so hard to be Braden. He tugs me close enough to bury his face against my neck. When his teeth sink into the delicate flesh, I squeal and attempt to push him away. For a moment, I forget all about the stalker girl watching us. Braden? A soft voice interrupts. We both still, not realizing that Kira has separated herself from the group of girls she'd been standing with. Her tongue darts out to moisten her pink slicked lips as she whispers, "Can we talk before class?" If my body weren't pressed against his, I probably wouldn't notice the tension that now fills his muscles. He gives me a bit of side eye. Now isn't really a... Before he can force out the rest, I untangle myself from the death grip he has on me before stepping toward the tawny-haired girl. I think you and I should have a conversation. Kira's blue eyes flare, as if she wasn't expecting me to take control of the situation. To be honest, I wasn't expecting it either. The words popped out of my mouth before I could stop them. But then again, maybe this is exactly what needs to happen. Maybe it would be easier for Kira to hear this from me, girl to girl. I loop my arm through hers and continue walking. When her feet remain rooted in place, I tug her along until we're far enough away from the football player that he can't overhear our conversation. Even though she's unwittingly dragged me into this situation, I'm not looking to embarrass her. And neither, I realize, is Braden. He could have easily been cruel or told her to get lost, and he hasn't. Quite the opposite. He probably could have banned her from his house. Instead, he's been keeping her at a firm distance, hoping that she would eventually turn her attention elsewhere. As much as I don't want to unearth any admirable character traits in him, I can't deny that I've already found one. Maybe even a few. Since I wasn't expecting to have this chat with Kira, I'll have to wing it. I know we spoke a little bit at the party on Saturday, but you and I don't have anything to say to each other, she cuts in, color riding high on her cheeks. That might be so, but she's going to hear me out. Then let me do all the talking, I continue, undeterred by the anger wafting off her in heavy waves. I know my relationship with Braden looks like it came out of the blue, but we're together now, and I would really appreciate it if you could respect that. There's a beat of silence, just like I would respect it if you two were involved. Kira nibbles at her bottom lip. Instead of holding my gaze, hers skitters away. Emotion flickers in her expressive blue eyes. It's hard. I've liked Braden for a long time. There are always so many girls vying for his attention. I thought that if I were... She pauses, as if trying to find the right words. Boulder, he would give me a chance. I nod. At any given time, there are dozens of girls buzzing around Braden like drunken bees. In a way, I can understand why she felt the need to draw his attention with outrageous behavior. There's a lot of competition when it comes to the guys on the football team. They're like the rock stars of Western University. Personally, I've never felt the need to chase after anyone like that. Maybe it's because I'm also an athlete, and it's kind of irritating to watch all these girls clamor for their attention. My life has always revolved around my sport, not chasing guys who play them. But to each their own, right? I'm sure it hurts to see him get serious with another girl, I say carefully. I'm not a totally heartless bitch. I get it. More importantly, I want her to get it. Kira's gaze jerks back to me. It sucks to be hung up on someone who doesn't want you. The more I talk to this girl, the less crazy she sounds. You're right, I sigh. It does. I've been there. And here I thought that Kira and I wouldn't have anything in common. Turns out that we do. We both, at one time, crushed hard on Brayden. Her eyes widen as she scoffs. Oh, come on. You couldn't possibly know what that's like. Not only are you gorgeous, but you're a really talented soccer player. You can have any guy you want. I almost snort. It might seem that way on the outside, but trust me, that's not the case. I've struggled with relationships, in fact, I admit. I wasn't interested in getting together with anyone after my last boyfriend. I was going to take a much-needed break from men. Her eyes go a little dreamy. And now you're with Brayden. Right. I blink, remembering that this is nothing more than a part I'm playing. I guess what they say is true. When you're least expecting someone to come into your life, that's when it happens. When she remains silent, I continue. There are plenty of guys on this campus who would be thrilled to be with you. Do yourself a favor and don't chase after someone who can't see how amazing you are. Kira draws in a deep breath as her gaze meanders to something, or more than likely someone over my shoulder, before she jerks her head into a nod. Emotion flickers across her face before her gaze returns to mine. Thanks, Sydney. I appreciate you talking to me. Just remember, you and I aren't adversaries. I shift my weight and say gently, at least, we don't have to be. One corner of her mouth hitches as she nods. You're right, we're not enemies. I'm going to head to class. I'll see you inside. Sounds good. Bye, Kira. She raises her hand in a wave before walking up the wide stone stairs and disappearing through the glass door inside the brick building. I don't realize that Brayden has snuck up on me until he says, Well, that went better than expected. I was half afraid a catfight was about to break out. There's a pause. What did you say to her? I spear a glance in his direction. That you were on your third round of antibiotic treatment for a particularly stubborn case of chlamydia, and that she can do better. His mouth falls open, but not a sound escapes. It takes everything I have inside to rein in the laughter that bubbles up from my lips before walking away. I get about 3 steps when he calls out, You better be joking. You wanted her to leave you alone? I'm pretty sure that did the trick. I give a little bow. You're welcome. With a smile simmering around the edges of my lips, I follow Kira into the building, leaving Brayden to stand outside, all by his lonesome. Chapter 15. Sydney. The light rap of knuckles against the door has the nerves bursting to life inside the confines of my belly as I jump from the couch and jog to the tiny entryway before pulling open the door. It's not a surprise when I find Brayden standing on the other side of the threshold.
Hey,
he says in greeting, dark gaze piercing mine. I tamp down any attraction attempting to fight its way to the surface, all the while pretending it doesn't exist. Every time we see each other, it becomes increasingly more difficult to do. Brayden and I have never spent this much time together. When we've been forced into close proximity, I've always made a concerted effort to battle back the unwanted feelings he rouses inside me. Now it's happening on the daily, and it's a little more than I can handle. Everything feels like it's building inside me, and I'm afraid of what will happen once it reaches a pinnacle. I blow out a breath and push those unruly thoughts away. Nothing will happen that I don't want. Thanks for coming over, he shrugs.
Gotta hold up my end of the deal, right?
Yes. That's exactly what this is, a deal. I'm not sure why I have to keep reminding myself of this. It shouldn't be difficult, I spent years hating on Brayden, snarling at him whenever he wandered too close. Now that it's no longer the case, my emotions are strangely scattered and I'm uncertain what to make of them. There's a part of me that detests the confusion. It was so much easier when I knew what to expect or how to react to him. Brayden shifts his stance before clearing his throat.
So, you gonna let me in or what?
I snap to attention and hold the door open so he can walk inside the apartment. As he moves past me, his body brushes against mine. He steps inside the small hallway before moving further into the cramped dining/living room combination. There's a small round table stuffed into the space. Brayden removes his backpack from his shoulder before setting it on the wood surface. It lands with a thud. For a heartbeat, we stare before his fingers grip the hem of his navy t-shirt and yank it up his chest, revealing a tantalizing strip of washboard abdominals in the process. My eyes widen. What are you doing?
Stripping. His brows draw together in confusion. Why? What does it look like?
A gurgle of nervous laughter bubbles up in my throat as I wave at the living room. Oh my God, not here. As soon as he releases the cotton material, it falls back into place, covering his hard, sun-kissed flesh.
All right. If not here, then where?
I point toward the open door. Let's do this in my bedroom. When a slow smirk curves his lips, I roll my eyes. So I can sketch you properly, perv. Get your mind out of the gutter. The knowing smile remains in place.
Please, you're just trying to get me naked so you can have your wicked way with me.
He taps the side of his head with his finger.
I know exactly what's going on inside that dirty little mind of yours.
It's reluctantly that I snort out a laugh. Had he accused me of this even a week ago, I would have taken offense to the comment and snapped at him. Now I understand that Brayden is doing nothing more than goofing around. In your dreams. Although he's closer to the truth than I'm comfortable admitting, even to myself. The humor dancing in his eyes dies a quick death as they turn flinty.
Maybe.
That one word, murmured in a deep voice, is all it takes for desire to ignite within me. Almost mercilessly, I stomp it out before it can settle like a heavy stone in my core. I need to focus on the sole reason Brayden has turned up at my apartment this afternoon. And that's so I can do a preliminary sketch. This isn't a date, and we're not friends hanging out. Just like he quipped earlier, he's holding up his end of the deal. I trail behind him at a safe distance as he saunters into my room. We both fall silent as he studies my personal space. It's a little surreal to have him here. Who would have ever thought I would willingly invite Brayden into my bedroom? Certainly not me. The normally spacious area shrinks around his large form, making it feel surprisingly small and cramped. It's almost as if there isn't enough space for the both of us. Instead of staring at him, I rip my gaze away. It skitters around, taking in everything he must see. There's a queen-sized bed pressed against the far wall. Next to it is a nightstand with a fuzzy turquoise lampshade that I've had forever. Fairy lights are strung across three of the walls, and a fluffy greenish-blue comforter covers the bed. I love the color. It makes me think of the Caribbean Sea, and I find that soothing, especially when I'm working on my art. A white desk that doubles as a makeup area is situated across from the bed. Framed posters of the Louvre and MoMA decorate the plain white walls, along with a few of my own pieces that Mom was especially proud of. Brayden gravitates closer to one of the sketches before carefully studying it. His silence is enough to have my nerves growing taut. If they stretch any further, they'll fray and snap. It shouldn't matter what Brayden thinks of my artwork. We aren't friends. We're not anything, really. Our relationship has morphed into something new, but I'm unsure what label to slap on it. It's disconcerting to realize that his opinion actually matters. Maybe it's because I'm going to draw him, and I want Brayden to be impressed by my skills. I want to assure him that he won't turn out looking like a stick figure. When he glances over his shoulder, his dark gaze skewers me in place.
Is this yours?
I jerk my head into a nod as my mouth grows cottony, making it impossible to swallow.
It's really good.
He leans closer, as if trying to absorb the details. Thanks. Forcing out that one word takes a Herculean effort on my part. It's like Brayden is at a museum, as he moves from one framed piece to another before studying it with an equal amount of intensity. My fingers twist as I keep my lips clamped together. Standing by idly while people judge my work has never been comfortable, even though I tell myself that it doesn't matter what they think. Deep down, it does. Art comes from within, and to have someone form unfavorable opinions or criticize a piece that has taken hours to create can be brutal. I've spilled a lot of tears because a teacher tore apart a painting or drawing. A few times, I've even been tempted to quit. The problem is that the passion you carry around inside you doesn't just go away. It stays with you, searching for an escape route. Being creative isn't a choice, it's a necessity.
I had no idea that you were this talented,
he says with his broad back to me. I'm really not, I reply hastily, air leaking from my lungs. It's a knee-jerk reaction. I've always been uncomfortable accepting praise when it comes to my work. He twists around to capture my gaze before tipping his head toward the wall.
This says differently.
I shrug as heat engulfs my cheeks. I hate that he makes me feel so unsure of myself. Why does everything have to feel different with Brayden? He turns fully toward me so that we're once again facing each other before cocking his head. There's about 10 feet of space separating us, and I need every inch of that distance.
Why aren't you majoring in art?
He points to the drawings.
This seems like a lot of talent to waste.
My breath escapes in a slow leak as I break eye contact. When did this conversation morph into something genuine? Instead of giving him a bullshit excuse, I tell him the truth. My parents didn't think it would pay the bills. And after hearing it enough times, I believed them and gave up the dream of being an artist. Since I've always been good with numbers, accounting seemed like a good fit. My father owns an accounting firm, and one of my older brothers has been working there since he graduated college. I'll still have time for my art. Then I tack on the refrain I've heard hundreds of times before. It's more of a hobby than a way to make a living. He regards me with an excruciating amount of intensity. I imagine it must be similar to the way he studied my artwork only a handful of moments ago. It's so tempting to squirm beneath his scrutiny.
Is that what you want? To work in an office and for your art to be a hobby?
The question is like a knife to the heart. It's unexpectedly painful. It's also something I would prefer not to dwell on, especially when I'm already having doubts that accounting will make me happy in the long run. I clear my throat, not understanding how we veered so far off topic. What I think is that I'll have a well-paying job waiting for me after graduation. It's a pat answer, one I've rattled off dozens of times, one I've tried to convince myself is the truth. It's only now, as I inch closer to graduation, that more doubts are mushrooming up, creating uncertainty. But Brayden doesn't need to know that.
Hmm.
A skeptical expression settles on his face, as if he's not convinced. My eyes narrow. I don't need him prodding beneath the surface of our relationship. He needs to do us both a favor and stay in his lane. What?
I didn't say anything,
he says innocently. Too innocently for it to be sincere. You made a noise, I point out. He presses a hand to his chest.
Oh, am I not allowed to do that? Is that a rule or something?
Irritation bubbles up inside me as I fold my arms across my chest. Look, I don't want to talk about my degree or my future plans. Am I being defensive and acting like a bitch? Probably, but I can't seem to rein myself in. Brayden has picked up on an issue that hits a little too close to home. I haven't spoken to my family about this. I sure as hell don't want to talk to him.
I didn't say a word about it.
You're judging me, I mutter. Oh my God, since when do I care about anyone, let alone Brayden, judging me? He's twisting me up inside, and I don't like it. More than that, I don't want it. I need to work harder at keeping him at a safe distance. That's the only way I'm going to get through this.
Nope, not at all.
There's a beat of silence.
You're just really talented.
Again, he points toward the wall.
I'm surprised you couldn't find something where you can incorporate and utilize your talent.
His explanation has some of the stiffness draining from my shoulders. Talent doesn't always cut it, and it certainly doesn't make money.
That's true, but it would be a real shame to waste this. Maybe you need to explore your options while it's still a possibility.
His words circle viciously through my head before I pick up my sketch pad, but I push it away, refusing to dwell on it. He's not telling me anything I don't already know. It's getting late. We should probably get to work. I'll need at least 2 hours, maybe more. Instead of continuing the conversation, he drops it. Brayden doesn't know me well enough to understand what my art means to me or to realize that I'm having doubts about my chosen career. I'm in my last year of classes and majoring in accounting with a minor in fine arts. It's a little late to change course at this point. Had I arrived at this decision freshman or even sophomore year, I could have done something about it. Now, I'm stuck. An imaginary weight settles on my chest. Before I can get mired in thoughts of the future, Brayden yanks his shirt up his chest and over his head. The material lands with a soft whoosh near my feet. When my gaze collides with his, he smirks.
Sorry. Were you expecting more of a striptease? I just assumed you'd want me to remove everything as quickly as possible.
This guy. Sometimes I don't know what to say to him. At every turn, he knocks me off balance. I should be used to it by now. Clearly, I'm not. Brayden grins before shoving the athletic shorts down his thighs until they pool around his ankles. He picks them up and tosses them onto the growing pile of clothing. When his fingers hover over the elastic waistband of his black boxer briefs, I blurt, "You can leave them on. I'll use my imagination for..."
Nah.
His smile widens, his expression turning predatory.
I'm not shy about the goods.
Before any further protest can escape, the boxers disappear, leaving Brayden in all his naked glory. Almost hastily, I avert my gaze as the atmosphere in the bedroom turns oppressive. It's almost enough to choke on.
I'm pretty sure you'll have a hard time rendering a likeness of me if you refuse to look in my direction.
Even though his voice has deepened, traces of humor tinge the edges. Ugh. Why am I acting like this? I've sketched plenty of naked figures over the past 3 years. I've always been able to act professionally. So why does this feel so different? Why am I acting like such a newbie? Snap out of it. This isn't any different than if he were sketching Marco or Leo or even John. Except it is.
Where do you want me? He asks, breaking into my muddled thoughts. Like this?
He ambles closer before lifting his foot and placing it on the chair. With his leg raised, he positions his elbow on his muscular thigh before settling his chin on his fist and sending a broody look in my direction. Oh, God. I compress my lips and quickly shake my head.
No.
He straightens to his full height and glances around the room.
How about something more along these lines?
He flexes his arms until both biceps bulge. My mouth dries. Holy hotness, Batman. When I remain silent, he says,
Not quite right. Okay, give me a moment here.
Then he saunters to the bed before bending over and throwing a heated look over his shoulder.
Better? More modelish? Are you getting Zoolander vibes from this pose? Because that's who I'm channeling.
His ass is totally on display, along with his... I jerk my gaze away. Oh my. It's only been 3 minutes, and I've already caught way more than an eyeful. Stop. I can't take much more of this before I totally self-combust. I set the sketch pad down and force myself to close the distance between us before grabbing his arm and towing him to the middle of the room. Just stand there. I huff out of breath. Okay?
What should I do with my arms?
Just let them hang at your sides. My heart is jackhammering a painful staccato beneath my breast. If I'm not careful, it'll explode right out of my chest.
Sure, whatever you think is best. You're the professional,
he says. Well, that remains to be seen after this debacle. Once he does that, I stand back and take him in, tweaking his stance until he's exactly how I want him, at least for the time being. Positioning him allows me to remove myself from the situation and stop noticing things about him that make me think of the man he is instead of the beauty of his form and bringing it to life on paper. I've drawn good-looking men before. Silently, I admit that Braden is in a class all by himself. Michelangelo couldn't have done a better job sculpting David. The artist in me can appreciate every slab of finely honed muscle. From a distance, he's always looked to be in peak physical condition, but it's so much more than that. For the first time since we entered the bedroom, my fingers itch to pick up my pencils and sketch. I settle on the chair near the desk as Braden holds his position. The silliness from moments ago vanishes as I study the lean lines of his body. That's all it takes for the charcoal to fly over the thick paper. After about 20 minutes, I grab a different pencil and shade in the image, slowly taking shape. I fill in the ridges of his chest, making sure to contour all of his musculature. Once a good likeness of his front has been rendered, I stand and stretch, moving around to capture the tall football player from a different angle. Braden watches me until I disappear from sight. He doesn't move a muscle or say a word. I settle on my bed with a sketch pad and flip the page before getting to work. This project will be a 360-degree perspective taken from several different angles. Honestly, I was less than thrilled with the idea of Braden modeling for me. But if my preliminary work is anything to go off, this project will turn out exceptionally well. He's the perfect specimen. His body is flawless with thighs that are thick and powerful, There's a smattering of dark hair sprinkled across his body and his ass. I'm tempted to run my fingers across the firm flesh to see if it's as taut as it appears. Do I actually give in to the urge? Hell no. That would be begging for trouble. With Brayden's back to me, I'm able to look my fill as my fingers fly across the thick paper. It doesn't take long to lose myself in the familiar strokes of charcoal until an illustration takes shape. It's only when I notice the slant of the sun outside my bedroom window that I become aware of how much time has passed. I rise to my feet and walk around to the front again, flipping from the fifth drawing back to the first. My gaze drifts over him, taking in every minute detail until arriving at his cock. Even in repose, it's long and thick. The length is curved, nestled against dark curls. He really is gorgeous. Artistically speaking, of course. My finger is still as my gaze lingers, drinking in the sight of him. The man really should be sculpted and displayed in a museum to be admired. I almost lose myself in his masculine form. The lines and ridges that bisect his body. It's only when his cock stirs, stiffening up, that my wide gaze jerks to his. Air gets wedged in my throat as my mouth turns cottony. With a smirk, he shrugs.
There's only so much I can take of you eating me up with your eyes.
If I was expecting an apology or even a hint of embarrassment, I don't get it. Quite the opposite. Nudity has never embarrassed me, but it does with Brayden, which makes no sense. I'm not the one who's standing around in his birthday suit, and yet, my entire body feels flushed and achy. That's not what I was doing, I mumble. Because, yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. Hell, I'm still doing it. Brayden Kendricks is magnificent, and I was totally ogling him. But there's no way I'll admit that. The guy is cocky enough without me adding to his swollen head. Either of them, as the case might be. Heat slams into my cheeks as I swing away and move toward the desk to set my materials down. The more distance between us, the better off I'll be. You can get dressed now. We're done for today. Hopefully, by the time I turn around, he'll be fully clothed and ready to take off.
Sydney.
His voice drops, becoming low and gravelly. It strums something deep inside. I'd rather not acknowledge or inspect too closely. I'm afraid of what I'll find. My nerves ratchet up with every creak of the floorboards. By the time his hands settle on my shoulders, I'm ready to jump out of my skin. He's so close that I can feel the heat of his larger frame against my backside. His warm breath ghosts over my ear, and an unwelcome shiver scampers down my spine. Arousal explodes in the pit of my belly before settling in my core. No, no, no. Brayden is the last guy on earth I want to feel this way about. I hate that he can affect me so easily. I want to feel nothing where he's concerned. I want to be stone cold. Instead, I'm ready to melt into a puddle at his bare feet. It's demoralizing. His fingers curl around the tops of my shoulders before drawing me close enough for my back to align with the rigid lines of his chest. Lines that I studied and practically committed to memory as I brought them to life on the page. Instead of breaking free of his embrace and scrambling away, my feet become rooted in place. I'm incapable of movement. The brute male strength that radiates from him in powerful waves is heady and intoxicating. My eyelids feather closed, and I feel myself falling, tumbling into a dark abyss.
Sydney, he growls again, fingertips burning my flesh as they skim down my arms.
The way he bites out my name has liquid heat gathering between my thighs. The echo of it leaves me breathless and hungry with need. Whatever is about to happen, I no longer have the strength of will to fight against it. I'm ripped from those dangerous thoughts when my bedroom door flies open and Demi screeches to a halt over the threshold. Hey, I was... Her eyes go wide as her voice abruptly falls off. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I'm sure my expression mirrors the stunned one she's wearing. I shake my head. Violent little movements that leave me feeling dizzy. No, we're not. I try to explain, but she's already springing forward and grasping the handle before slamming the door shut with a resounding thud. A tortured sound of humiliation escapes from my lips. She thinks we were about to have sex.
It does appear that way,
Brayden says, humor replacing the thick desire in his voice. I'm leaving now. Demi's muffled voice comes from the other side of the door. So carry on with whatever was about to happen. Oh, God. This is truly horrific, and there's nothing I can do to rectify the situation. If anything, I owe her for the timely interruption. It's shocking to realize that there's a good possibility something would have happened between us if she hadn't barged in. As painful as it is to admit it, Brayden is like the Pied Piper of pussy, and I was so damn close to falling under his spell.
Guess we don't need to worry about people thinking this is a fake relationship, now do we?
No. We certainly don't.
Chapter 16. Brayden. That practice sucked ass, I huff, shoving my way inside the locker room along with the other guys. Everyone is bitching and complaining. The closer we get to the playoffs, the harder coach works us. After 4 years, I should be used to it. Sweat is beaded across my forehead, has soaked through my pads, and dampens my hair. A hot shower is going to feel so damn good. Rowan shrugs, looking no worse for the wear. What are you talking about? It didn't seem so bad. I barely broke a sweat. My eye is narrow. You know why that is? I don't bother to wait for a response. Because all you do is stand around like a fucking prima donna waiting to unload the ball. My ass is the one running routes and getting into position. Not taking offense to my complaint, a grin slides across his face. Guess you should have been a quarterback, best position on the team. I give him a one-fingered salute. In all honesty, I can't criticize the guy. No matter what conference you're looking at, he's the best QB in Division I college football. There's no way he won't be a first-round draft pick. And if there's anyone who deserves it, it's Rowan. He's worked his ass off to be the best. That being said, I enjoy giving him shit from time to time. Can't have him getting too big for his britches, now can I? By the time I peel off my pads, Rowan is already out of the shower. It's like his damn ass is on fire. What's he in such a hurry for? Never mind. It probably has something to do with Demi. Those two went from spending as little time as possible together to practically being conjoined twins. Come on, man, get a move on it, he urges, grabbing his boxers from the locker and hauling them up his thighs. Excuse me? I hike a brow. Why? He shoots me an exasperated look. The game starts at 7, and I don't want to miss any of it. Game? What the hell is he talking about? The only game I'm focused on is the upcoming one this Saturday. Thankfully, we'll have home field advantage. The cheer of our fans always helps to heighten the energy in the stadium. It's a point of pride to step on the turf and stare up at the ocean of red and black that surrounds us. There's nothing more that gets me pumped than the excitement of our fans. It's electric. If you're gonna go out with Sydney, then you need to step up and show some support. Trust me, It won't go well for you if your ass isn't in the stands tonight. Rowan shakes his head as if I'm a complete moron. How is it that you get all the chicks but don't know a damn thing about them? I almost snort. Trust me, I know enough to make them happy. I open my mouth to tell him exactly that when it hits me. Oh, right, I improvise with a nod. The soccer game. Sure, Sydney mentioned it earlier. Actually, Sydney didn't utter one damn peep. Why that should send an arrow of hurt slicing clean through me? I have no idea. We might have cleared the air at the diner, but that doesn't mean our relationship has changed. She holds me at just as much of a distance as she always has. The girl has so many walls up, she's like an impenetrable fortress. Rowan waves his hand. Great, now get moving. He glances at his phone. We've got 10 minutes. Coach is already there, waiting for us. All right, I grumble, realizing that my plans for the night have veered in an unexpected direction. Looks like I'll be checking out women's soccer. Should be interesting. Or not. Let me hop in the shower, and then we can take off. 20 minutes later, we're both freshly washed with our asses parked in the bleachers. The game is just about to get underway. Both teams are out on the field, warming up and taking shots at the net. It doesn't take long to find Sydney. My gaze homes in on her blonde head. Her hair is pulled up in a ponytail as she moves through a defensive drill. Nice to see you at the game, Kendricks, Coach says from the other side of Rowan where he's seated. Yep, just coming out to support the Wildcats. He nods, his gaze refocusing on the field. In the 3+ years I've been at Western, I don't think Coach has ever missed a game. He's always here, supporting his daughter. Everyone rises for the national anthem before the announcer goes through the starting lineup for each team, and then the game gets underway. I've never attended a women's soccer match. I'm a little surprised to realize how fast-paced the action is. Both the ball and the girls are in constant motion, running from one side of the field to the other. My head is on a swivel with a continuous movement. And these girls aren't afraid to get a little physical. Especially Sydney. A smirk settles on my face as she throws an elbow. When a ref warns her with a yellow card, she lifts her hands in the air like she doesn't understand what she got called for. Like she was just out there minding her own business. A smile curls around the edges of my lips. That's my girl, all right. Well, technically speaking, she's my girl, but not really. From the moment the game begins until the buzzer sounds at the end of the second half, I find myself perched on the edge of my seat, gaze locked on the action. And there's plenty of it. I knew Sydney was an athlete, but I had no idea she was so talented. It's like she's got a motor tied to her ass. She never stops, gets gassed or winded. Barely does she come out to guzzle down water before she's running back onto the turf. I'm exhausted just watching her. Demi scores 2 goals. Each time the ball hits the net, Coach jumps to his feet and cheers, whistling like his life depends on it. I can't help but follow suit. It's almost a shock when 2 hours slip by, with the Wildcats managing to pull off a win by the skin of their teeth. It's a hard-fought game, one they should be proud of. What amazes me most is how much I actually enjoyed watching the match. Staring at Sydney while she makes moves on the field was certainly no hardship. I've always admired her spunk, but it's so much more than that. She's hardcore competitive, and as an athlete, I can totally respect that. My gaze follows the blonde firecracker as she heads off the field and disappears inside the locker room with her teammates. I've always found Sydney to be smart and beautiful, with a feisty personality to match. But there's so much more to her that I'm only now discovering. Her talent as an artist has blown me away, and now watching her on the field, what can't this girl do? I have a newfound appreciation and respect for how relentlessly she must train to maintain that level of endurance. I work hard to stay in shape and make it through a 3.5-hour game every week, but I suspect she could run circles around me. She has a ton of stamina. It's impressive. And yeah, hot as hell. It does the impossible, and somehow makes me want her more than I already do. I have no idea how this fake relationship will end. What I do know is that if Sydney is involved, it'll be interesting.
Chapter 17, Sydney. Demi's arm is slung around my shoulders as we walk out of the locker room. As exhausted as I am, I'm flying high from that win. That was a tough game. There's nothing better than a victory on the field, especially one that comes down to the wire and could go either way. With every second that ticked by, the crowd's cheers grew louder, pumping even more adrenaline through my body and giving me the extra boost I needed. As a team, we worked like a well-oiled machine. Now we just need to keep performing at this level, and we'll make it to the playoffs and hopefully championship. It'll be the perfect end to my soccer career. Unlike Demi, I won't be going on to play in the National Women's Soccer League. I'm starving. Now that the game is over and my nerves have dissolved, my appetite has rushed back to fill the void. Not wanting to be weighed down on the field, I never eat much before a game. Maybe a protein bar for energy. With the match behind us, my empty belly grumbles, searching for sustenance. "Looks like Brayden stuck around," Demi says, knocking me from my thoughts of food. My head snaps up and my surprised gaze locks on his dark one. Awareness scuttles down my spine, making every nerve ending crackle with energy. What's he doing here? He was in the stands the entire time, watching with Rowan and Dad. I thought you realized it. He was? During a game, my world shrinks to the size of the field. I don't want any distractions, especially when the other team's fans start chirping. Why would Brayden bother? There's no way he's interested in women's soccer. The more distance that gets eaten up between us, the faster my heart thumps beneath my ribcage. The way Brayden's gaze stays pinned to mine makes everything inside me riot almost painfully. I draw on a deep breath, attempting to stomp out the attraction that has flared to life. After our sketching session the other day, I've gone to great lengths to avoid being near him. It hasn't been easy. It feels like everywhere I go, there he is, bombarding my senses and attempting to scale my walls. I have to remind myself that this is all a big facade. We might be trying to fool everyone else, but I can't allow myself to be tricked into believing this is anything more than a pretense, no matter how attracted I am to him. As soon as we reach the guys, Coach pulls Demi into a hug and congratulates her for a hard-fought game. Then he does the same with me. I've known Nick Richards since freshman year. He's an amazing father and they have a close relationship. My guess is that he's somewhere in his mid-40s, and he's not bad-looking for an older dude either. That thought always brings a smile to my lips, because Demi hates when I talk about him being a hot divorced daddy, which only makes me want to tease her more. As soon as Coach releases me, Brayden wraps his arm around my shoulders and tugs me close before pressing a kiss against the crown of my head.
That was an awesome game. You killed it out there.
His praise shouldn't mean anything. Brayden doesn't know the first thing about soccer. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me to learn that this was the first game he's ever sat through. And yet, knowing all this, it doesn't stop the warmth from blooming in my chest before radiating outward. I clear my throat and tamp down all of the unwanted sensations that are attempting to break through to the surface. Thanks.
I'm excited to check out the next one. There's a pause. It's a week from today, right?
What? I tilt my head to meet his dark gaze before sifting through it carefully. I can't tell if the question is for show or if he actually means it.
All right, guys, I've got to head back to the office. I have a few recruiting calls to make before I wrap up for the night. Coach draws Demi in for one last quick hug before taking off with a wave.
I bet you two are famished, Rowan says. We should grab something to eat.
Spending more time with Brayden sounds like a disastrous idea. It's only been a week, and already something unidentifiable has shifted in our relationship. I'm not entirely sure what it means, but it's enough to leave me rattled. Until I have a better handle on my emotions where he's concerned, it's probably best if I keep my distance.
Does that sound like a plan?
Rowan asks when I remain silent. I shake my head. Sorry, I don't think...
Oh, come on, babe.
Brayden wheedles, pressing me against his chest until I'm inundated with the spicy scent of his aftershave. It wraps slyly around me, cocooning my better judgment, making it impossible to think.
You worked hard out there. It's important to replenish and refuel.
With a frown, Demi cocks her head. What happened to being famished? Isn't that what you said when we were walking out of the locker room? Damn it. I should have kept my big mouth shut, but how was I supposed to know that Brayden would be waiting or Rowan would suggest a late dinner? It's just that I have an assignment to finish up for tomorrow. I want to make sure there's enough time to get it done. I mumble, pulling the lie out of my ass like a magic trick.
Don't worry, we'll make it quick, Brayden says easily. I'll even help you with it afterward.
Hell no, that's the last thing I need. The lines of our relationship have already blurred more than I'm comfortable with. I need to take a giant step back and get some perspective. Not that I'm in any danger of falling for Brayden, but still. Stranger things have happened. The guy is to be avoided at all costs. He's nothing more than a heartbreaker. Take Kira, for example. Once upon a time, she probably had her head on straight. Now look at her. She's obsessed. There is no way I'd ever allow myself to become so crazy over a guy. All right, I can admit that I'm physically attracted to him, but it's nothing more than that.
Are we doing this or what? Rowan asks,
gaze bouncing curiously between us.
Yep.
My fake boyfriend cuts in, beating me to an answer, and locking in this impromptu date.
Let's meet up at the diner.
As soon as it's agreed upon, Demi and Rowan take off through the parking lot. Now that I've been left alone with Brayden, a burst of unwanted nerves explodes in my belly like a firework. I stare after the couple with longing before muttering, "Is there a reason we can't all drive over together?" He points to a shiny black F-150 a few rows over.
"My truck is right there. We'll just take that. It'll be easier."
For whom? Whom exactly will this be easier for? Not me. I glance over my shoulder and realize with a sinking heart that my roommate and her boyfriend have already disappeared through the swirling darkness. I've been left to my own devices with Brayden. It's precisely where I didn't want to find myself. We should all stick together. With his arm wrapped around my body, he propels me toward the truck.
What's the matter? Are you afraid to be alone with me?
I stiffen. What? Of course not. 100%. I'm scared to death to be with him. He rouses feelings inside me that I'm not entirely comfortable with.
Good. Because I like spending time with you.
What? I don't think I could be more shocked if he slammed me upside the head with a 2x4. Stunned by the admission, I slant a look in his direction. You do? He unleashes a smile. It's one that has the potential to send panties dropping all over campus.
Yeah, you're smart and have a great sense of humor. You might find this difficult to believe, but I enjoy your wicked tongue. Not to mention, you're one hell of a soccer player. Even though this was my first game, I was pleasantly surprised to discover how fast-paced and exciting it was. There's a pause before he tacks on. You were pretty amazing out there. For the second time in a matter of minutes, something warm fights to break free beneath my chest cavity. Only this time, I find it impossible to completely stomp out the unwelcome sensation. Thanks. My head spins with all these unsolicited compliments. Just stating facts, he says with an easy lift of his shoulder. Rowan mentioned that Demi will probably